It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Can't we just have that Delta Gamma sorority girl question the suspect? The bombing suspect? We would get some. She would get some answers out of that guy.
She will punt him.
Right?
Yes.
Right? Just the threat of that.
Isn't that the best letter you've ever read?
Isn't it nice to have like the Newsweek slow down so that we can enjoy the guy that dropped an F-bomb and an S-bomb?
Oh, that was hilarious.
And his first news anchoring job and the sorority girl.
Yeah.
I didn't read the sorority girl thing.
Oh.
Okay.
Epic.
Something you can't say on there. Not safe for work or air or
no, we're going to post. Who is it? It's an actor reading it?
Yes, it's a Shakespearean actor reading.
Great. Oh, that's fantastic.
Not for air.
No.
Too many F-bombs.
Oh, man.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com coming up. Matthew Breen, editor-in-chief of The Advocate. To talk about the Boy Scouts, the Boy Scouts' incomprehensible new gay policy.
Yeah, well, they released this policy Friday night, right as the guy was getting captured in Watertown.
People were like, "All right, I don't know, that doesn't make any
exactly,
sense."
Exactly, but we're on it.
Kid gays, no adult gays.
Right.
Okay, that doesn't really make much sense.
Right.
So if you want to go through the Scouts and then be a leader, then you're out.
It just reinforces the stereotype that all gays are pedophiles.
Right.
And that's what's maddening about it.
They're not? Oh. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can
pedal boats are gay? What?
What? Oh,
sorry, what?
You can email us all at StephanieMiller.com. Wow. This was, you know what? A lot of people, the politicization of the Boston bombings obviously began. Thank you. Began right away. However, it's hard to win the prize for most idiotic tweet. Would you like to hear who wins?
Sure.
Donald Trump.
No.
Donald Trump. He tweeted yesterday, what do you think of waterboarding the Boston killer sometime prior to allowing our doctors to make him well? I suspect he may talk. Okay.
First of all, what you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Mm-hmm. At no point were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
No.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Look, dumbass, he can't talk.
He has a throat injury, you moron. You're going to kill him.
Communicating
We're not
with the keyboard. Yeah, you brought him. Then you keyboard.
Yeah, let's kill him before we can get any answers.
Electrocute him with the keyboard when you waterboard him. That is, you'd be huge.
Pour some water in the hole in his throat. That'll get him to talk.
Yeah,
what?
Boy, you are really seriously Donald Trump.
You are an idiot.
You are just not helping in any way.
You see Donald Trump waterboarded just to see what his hair looks like when they pull him out from there.
It's one strand of hair that he wraps around his head. So
exactly.
Just go.
Several times.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So Jokar? I can't.
Midnight Tokar?
They really do. This entire family needs to buy a vowel. They need to group up and buy a vowel.
Well, there's plenty of vowels.
Okay. You remember I once debated Michael Medved about Medvedev.
Medvedev.
Right.
I thought he had both the E and the Ye letters in his alphabet. Apparently it's all Ye. Medvedev.
Right. Right.
Might as well play it backwards.
Yes.
Anyway, Jokar, that guy, charged with the bombings while he lay in his hospital bed. He's been charged. We were talking about the charges with the use of a weapon of mass destruction
which
malicious destruction of property resulting in a death.
Yeah, but, you know, George Bush tried to attack Saddam Hussein claiming he had weapons of mass destruction. He didn't mean, like, pipe bombs or exploding backpacks. He meant nuclear, chemical, or biological warfare.
Yeah, I don't know why. They
Multiple counts of murder isn't enough, you know?
I don't know. He could be sentenced to death or spend the rest of his life in prison. I'm sure it was to try to get whatever charge.
Right.
Yeah. The court magistrate came to his hospital room. The FBI said he remains in serious condition. Jay Carney explaining...
He will not be treated as an enemy combatant. We will prosecute this terrorist through our civilian system of justice. Under U.S. law, the United States citizens cannot be tried in military commissions. And it is important to remember that since 9/11, we have used the federal court system to convict and incarcerate hundreds of terrorists.
Yeah,
Bill Clinton was doing a pretty good job of that until, George, as you mentioned, George Bush came in and
he
started...
He mucked it up.
Yes, invading various
You're
countries.
Welcome, America.
Yeah, willy-nilly.
Just got rid of that surplus. Means you're paying too much tax. You're welcome. I fixed it.
All right. I was reading, I can't help myself, I can only do it in small bits and pieces. I was reading the Parade magazine piece.
Oh, God. On the library?
Yeah. I have a library.
He's got
before I'm doing this interview. And he
got
said,
lots
I
of coloring books.
He said he thinks that he will be, he hopes he will be remembered as an honest guy.
No.
Kind of the guy that lied us into Iraq, but okay.
Yeah.
An honest guy? That's the first thing? The first thing you throw out there? Okay. Hmm. At any rate, so, yeah, I said this yesterday. He can't be charged. Lindsay, talking to you, well-known Southern Belle. He's an American citizen. How do you, you can't.
You can't.
And it was committed on American soil. I don't
know. Peter King's trying to move the goalpost by saying, well, he brought the enemy combatant, he brought the battlefield to America. No, he's an American citizen. He doesn't go to a military
yeah,
tribunal.
Name, he doesn't have an American name, so then because then because he talks weird with a weird accent.
Yeah.
So that's why we can't.
Yeah, they don't know what to do. Exactly. Somebody was saying not only are they Caucasian,
yeah.
they come from the place that is that's
the
where you
Caucasus.
Get the name.
Caucasus. Yes.
Caucasian. The very one is like I don't. They're white, but they're. Yeah. So
can't be white and Muslim. That's just not allowed.
Right.
So America's getting a crash course in the Chechen wars, though.
Yeah.
Hello.
I was not as acquainted with the stands. Oh, I was incorrect yesterday about the stands that my sister has lived in.
Oh.
Uzbekistan and Turkmenistan.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I remember she lived in Turkmenistan.
Right. And then she wanted to go to more of a vacation wonderland and decided to
go to Uzbekistan. I went to Turkchikistan.
Right.
More.
You made that up. Okay. But anyway, I was the other thing a lot of
See,
people are...
Men.
Yeah,
commenting on whether it's Chuck Grassley, a little snippy yesterday.
Yeah.
Hello. It's exactly what I said. This has nothing to do with the immigration debate that's currently before us. It has nothing to do. I mean, the family came here, 10 years ago or something?
Mm-hmm.
I forget. I don't know if it's asylum technically, but they were obviously fleeing what was going on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so how does that, and he was like, I don't even know, not even eight? How old was he?
He was about nine.
Something.
I think. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Anyway. Jay Carney, yes.
We will prosecute this terrorist through our civilian system of justice. Right. Under U.S. law, the United States citizens cannot be tried in military commissions.
Yeah. And I think Peter King and Lindsey Graham seem to have forgotten that we are a nation of laws.
What's the difference if we convict him? What is it, just to seem tougher or something? If that we try him? I don't get it.
I think what Lindsey Graham was going for was getting more information about his ties to Al-Qaeda.
Right. The experts are saying they don't think
have
they
ties
have
to Al-Qaeda.
Right. He admitted that yesterday on his hospital bed. He said, you know, he said they're religious, but they don't have ties to any larger network.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what the FBI was saying initially. Can I just say one of my favorite things is the description? Because, you know, he was mad initially. What he was tweeting is that you killed my brother.
Yeah.
I think actually he killed his brother.
No, that was a fake Twitter account.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, he wasn't tweeting.
Oh, okay. All right. But, you know.
Right.
That he was. But I'm just saying that was a little. I thought I was the only one that thought that it was a little roadrunner. He was like, you know, had explosives. And he was like run over by, you know what I mean?
He was run over by his brother.
Right, and
basically
dragged
killed
like
him.
30 feet. And I don't know. Somebody said he was holding an Acme receipt, and I don't think so.
No. No rocket skates.
Just saying. All right. My buddy Howard Kurtz of Daily Beast wrote this. This is exactly what I said about the politicization.
In the caucuses.
In the caucuses.
Yes.
And the trends in politicization.
Echoed my point exactly. Chuck Grassley rushed in to say that in hearings he wants to examine immigration reform, particularly in light of all that's happened in Massachusetts over the last week. Never mind that what happened in Boston has relatively little to do with the issues being debated on the immigration front. Thank you. As tragic as the Boston Marathon bombing was, it doesn't lend itself to a huge policy revamp unless someone wants to ban fertilizer or stop holding marathons. Because he was talking about cause and effect. Obviously, Newtown, you can't compare that. Like, yes, that was something that you go, this is happening too often in America, we should do something about it. But anyway, Howard writes, as tragic as the Boston Marathon bombing was, right, it doesn't lend to change in policy. The first thought upon learning the suspects
oh, God.
Were the CERN brothers. They attended school in the U.S. is that we're letting dangerous folks in on student visas, but the family with ties to Chechnya is said to have emigrated here in 2002 when one brother would have been about 7 and the other 14. The younger brother, captured by police, graduated 2 years ago from blah, 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 was a naturalized citizen. He isn't an illegal immigrant or a person who overstayed his visa.
Right.
So
they became radical here in America.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard Rush Limbaugh saying probably by liberal professors, I think, was the idea. You can get radicalized right here in the United States, ladies and gentlemen. I think that's what he meant, is all college professors are liberal
also,
terrorists.
There's also the internet, and when you're radicalized in a religion, you basically become incredibly conservative.
Yes, exactly. Right. There's no such thing as a liberal terrorist.
Right. Well, right.
Let's be clear. The vast majority of the 11 million immigrants living illegally here are Hispanics, many of them from Mexico. The focus of all the demands for border security and electrified fences is Mexico. A couple of allegedly murderous Chechen brothers doesn't change that. Just some good points. And Howard Kirsch was out front with this a couple of days ago. They're talking about, of course, the people trying to blame Obama because that's what they do with everything.
Sure.
And Howard
Obama
writes,
derangement syndrome.
Yeah. Even Mitt Romney praised the president's speech in Boston, and what could the administration have done to prevent what happened at a marathon in which local police were in charge? The carnage in downtown Boston was a shock to us all. Too bad some polls and pundits are already attempting to exploit it. Thank you, Howard Kurtz.
He's good.
Yeah, but we've had a couple of right-wing callers trying to compare this to 9/11. And, oh, well, if it was a Republican president, blah, blah. I mean, Mitt Romney made the point. This is how could the president have prevented this? This is a local event that the local Boston police.
He should have stopped the marathon before it happened.
Right, he should have known. It's running that causes. Okay. All right. So a lot of issues. This is all brought up. 17 minutes after the hour, we will continue with all of that on the Boston bombing suspect as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Coming up after this commercial, I will be talking even louder.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You really got me now. You got me so I got me right now. You really got me. You really got me. You really got me.
Oh, ow! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. Jim Ward on air guitar. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Todd in Idaho, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Todd.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, I was just wondering why no one's talking about the warrantless access that the SWAT teams, when they were looking for the suspect, went from house to house in Boston. I don't know if I would allow that. Is that legal?
The house-to-house searches? What does that have to do
with? Yeah. They have to have a warrant to do that, don't they?
Oh, I don't, you know, I'm not really certain.
You would think.
Yeah, I don't really know.
I mean, you were talking earlier about we live in a land of laws. I mean, that's one of the biggest ones.
Well,
how do you know they didn't have a warrant?
Well, that's why I'm wondering.
I guess that wouldn't.
I think with something as high profile as this, they wouldn't screw something like that up.
Yeah. Yeah. The I can't remember the name of the exemption why they they didn't read Miranda rights right away. But I mean, clearly to me that was a public emergency.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was
there was an imminent danger.
Yeah, yeah, to the public. So I don't know. I don't know. Perhaps I'm not as versed on my civil liberties as I should be. You're right. I really don't give a
imminent danger of being punted.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Talking to you, sorority girl. Lara.
We got a gamma here. We're sending her in if you don't come out. Okay, Kevin in D.C. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, So a site for this always.
What's that?
I got the phrase wrong. I mean, you're a site for sore eyes.
Site for sore eyes. Okay, sure. All right.
I said it
thank
backwards.
You.
Sorry.
What?
It's early. What do you want?
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I was calling kind of in frustration. I mean, does everything have to be political? The Boston tragedy, the what has happened to those poor people still, you know, a few days later, I still am horrified about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, a few troglodytes like the one who called you the day after and, you know, try to blame Obama and try to ridiculously compare it to Bush or whatever that Republican official was that was babbled about the cowering liberals, wish they had an AK-15. I mean, these people human? Yeah. There's nothing that can happen that they just can't take a second, even if they have to fake it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what... How did we get to this point? I'm not saying all Democrats or liberals or whatever you want to, progressive, whatever you want to call us, all have halos over their head, but it seems to me, it appears to me at least, that we're not as reactionary as they are. I may be wrong. I am a Democrat. I'm biased, but there doesn't seem to be anything.
Yeah, I know when I'm forced to defend Marco Rubio from Ann Coulter tweeting, what did she tweet? Oh, too bad Marco Rubio won't be able to legalize suspect number one. What? Huh?
But the,
Yeah.
Yeah. What? I mean, Anne the Man has been horrific for years, but it's all of them. I mean, it's like you name them. They all. I shouldn't say all. I'm demonizing them all. But
yeah.
It just seems that this small contingent that has no conscience. I've never seen anything like it.
Yep. I hear you, honey. Oh, all right. Dale in California has an answer on the warrant question. Hey, Dale.
Hi. Love you guys. Listen to you all the time. I'm the CRNA that told you all about snot and CSF more than you ever wanted to know.
Awesome.
Anyway, on the warrantless searches, as long as you have consent, you do not need a warrant. It's not a pinpoint search. It's for gross examination in rooms and in hiding places.
Okay.
So if they have consent, it's legal.
Yeah, Dale, that's what I assumed it was, is that most people, they probably said, can we, you know, search? And they probably said, yeah.
Right.
I mean, and that's how you know where he might be hiding.
Yeah.
If someone said, no, why? There's no bloody injection in here.
Right. If someone is holding a gun at your head, you might say no.
Yeah.
And that's why you have, and nobody said no.
But
what if
they found 10 pounds of marijuana in the closet or something? You know,
nothing.
I think in the middle of a public emergency.
You cannot. Yeah. It's for a person. It's not for, you know.
I'm not saying I have 10 pounds of marijuana in my closet.
Right, Jim. No one is saying you do.
You could have 10 kilos.
Yes.
Of it, and they couldn't do anything about it.
You know, Dale, now that you say that, I have a good friend, it's former LAPD, and I remember he told me that. He said that most people surprisingly consent. He said normally when police come and say, do you mind if we come in for a minute? And, you know, he just said half the time when they're sort of leaning in already, most people just say yes, unless you have a bloody Chechen.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, these people want the bad guys caught, too. So
right.
Why wouldn't you?
And how about aiding and abetting terrorists?
Mm-hmm.
We have the NRA that aids and abets terrorists.
Yeah.
We cannot track the gunpowder. Mm-hmm. We have illegal guns. Hundreds of rounds were shot at the Watertown. Six men held these guys off. Bombs being thrown at them. This wasn't the Boston PD.
Yep.
It was the Watertown PD that got in a gunfight with them.
Yeah. And Dale, I mentioned
guns were illegal and hundreds of rounds of ammo, but why isn't this a topic, you know, in this? I cannot believe
Dale and
the NRA
gets
away with what they do.
And I said it yesterday, but, you know, it is not a stretch to say that this poor MIT cop might be alive. If we were able to track these explosives more quickly.
Absolutely, and the other one not be wounded because they would have had the tagging agents.
Yep.
And they wouldn't have been able, they would have had to go through a background check, which the Senate just voted down, to get a illegal gun because everything they had, they did not have a background check for.
Yep, absolutely. Good points. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller
is an invention of 20s era ad men.
I know you're hurting, but that's no reason to lash out at me.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2. Buddy in Columbus. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Mama. I got to give you guys a compliment. Last Friday show, not that I don't love the exotic and erotic news babe, Jackie Schechner.
Yes.
But last Friday, when you had Schuster and Pierce on at the same time talking, that was as flat as good as it gets.
Thank you. Well, they were awesome.
I mean, they were
awesome.
And, you know, the thing is, one of the two of them, if they didn't know something, they'd say, oh, I don't know that. You know, it wasn't random speculation. It wasn't, you know, can I hear their accents from a video? But they were so good.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Well, they're both terrific. And obviously, Charlie, you know, with such a connection with Boston, mm-hmm. that, you know, this literally happened, what, like two blocks
from
where
his blogging
worked.
Headquarters, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I think once a week you should have them on and call it the S&P report.
Yeah, they are the Huntley Brinkley for our generation, absolutely. Well, you do the best you can, and these break. I'm Bob Schieffer suddenly.
You got a much nicer ass than Bob Schieffer, though.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right. We do have all the greatest on the show, including Rude Pundit, who I did see. There's things that we miss, particularly in big news weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not see the Brad Paisley, LL Cool J, accidental racist.
Yeah.
But there was something very rude that he wrote about how hard it sucks, and it's something about a whore and I don't know. Anyway, but because no,
ping
he was
pong balls and golf.
They were comparing like wearing the Confederate flag to, you know, wearing chains or droopy pants or whatever. I won't judge you if you don't judge me. And he was just saying that's not accidental racism, the wearing the Confederate flag. That's racism.
Yeah.
And anyway, so but I guess Rocky Mountain Mike and Macaroni, the official rapper of the Stephanie Miller
what?
Show, felt the need to do a parody
of
Accidental Racist. And this is Accidental Steph Head.
Nice.
Wow.
To the man who waited on me when I stopped at Beaver Liquor, I hope you'll understand. When I put on your t-shirt, the only thing I meant to say is I'm a Steffi fan. She's just a lame white chick who doesn't like tries to make it stick for guys who think that means freeway. She's proud of where she's from, but not everything she's done. It ain't like she can erase the itchy kitty.
If you are not a Steph fan, I wish you understood. Steph heads come from everywhere, even your neighborhood. We tune in every morning, fart jokes changing hope. She even let me get a reach around that meet and grow.
Yeah.
Sexy limbo bro, always keep your smartphone handy, cause you just might get lucky with a picture of her panties. It ain't an accident, I'm a Steph head through and through.
Yeah.
So don't be judging mama, and we won't be judging you.
White chick,
if you don't judge my Steph show,
like
I won't judge your morning joke.
Make it for guys who think that means free.
If you don't judge my funny cheese t-shirt,
out of
I won't judge if your teeth need work.
But not everything.
If you show Steph respect,
it ain't like
I won't laugh because you love came back.
Oh, boy.
And that's the truth.
Wow.
Thank you, boys. Wow. Lame ass white chick he doesn't like. Who would have thought of that? Well, they would.
Of course.
Spectacular. All right. Let's go to
Rhett. You like that one?
Yes. Rhett in Louisiana. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rhett.
How are you guys doing again today?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm on vacation this week, and I'm just enjoying watching the different channels and listening to what's going on in the world for a change.
Yeah.
A while ago, I heard the comment that there's no such thing as a liberal terrorist, and I was wanting to know, do you guys consider William Ayers a conservative?
No. I think he meant that. He was talking about these specific guys in terms of religion. We're not saying
well, I mean,
never
in the
been
60s,
a...
there was the Weather Underground, but they were attacking buildings and the symbols of...
You know what, though? They were,
and
they were causing terror.
Someone and,
they were causing terror. So, yeah, okay. I think they were liberal terrorists.
Yeah.
Okay. I just
well, then, when you commit terrorism, you stop being a liberal. Is my point.
How's
yeah,
that?
Yeah, because I'm sure if we that's good. I understand that. I just, you know, when I called yesterday, yeah. I believe in a fair playing field and fair accusations.
Well, there
and
you
when
go.
The conservatives wrong, I'm the first ones on the conservatives' ass. Like this idiot down in South Carolina that screwed around on his wife. He needs to get out of politics and go home.
Yeah. Well, I guess Stephen Colbert's sister is seeing to that.
Yeah. She's like 9 points up in the polls.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Jim, wait, what did you just say? Because now we're going to get more calls on
that.
Oh, you said once you commit terror, you stop being a liberal?
I don't think so.
I mean, then you're not living up to liberal principles if you're trying to kill someone.
Right.
Right.
Well,
unless
but
conservatives
war,
would
but
say the same thing, that that's not that Tim McVeigh is not a fair representation of a conservative.
Right.
You know.
You know. Yeah. I mean, conservatives would say once you blow something up, you're not a conservative anymore. You're a lunatic.
Right. Which, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I think he just leveled the playing field for us there.
Exactly.
Our caller, thank you very much. We stand corrected. Well, Jim does. Okay. Darcy in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Darcy.
Good morning, Stephanie. First, I want to preface this by saying I've been a big fan of yours for the last, I think, about 2.5 years, and I love the show, especially Rocky Mountain Mike. He's great.
Okay.
I just have a we were talking last night at work, and a number of us are just a little bit perplexed as to why someone with your intelligence and inner beauty would continue to, like, make fun of nationalities and people's names. I mean, that's kind of a personal
thing. Oh, I'm not making fun of their names. I can't pronounce normal things. So what are the chances I'd be able to pronounce their names correctly?
Okay, I guess I just kind of feel that if you're in the media and you're doing public speaking, it's kind of, you know, you're part of your job to learn and practice.
You're not doing your job, you know? Steph.
Yes,
it's Jokar. I got it right.
Yeah, I don't need any animosity or what,
right.
Like I said, I'm a big fan. I just.
Thank you, Darcy. Well, if you listen a lot, then you know Jim can tell you I mispronounce most words, let alone words.
Yes, and some of them I consider pretty easy, but, you know,
Well, she's pretty easy, so.
Excuse me.
There you go.
For both of you. All right, Darcy, thank you. Good God. Oh, now I'm racist because I'm mispronouncing their names when I can't pronounce anything. Okay, right? I have a fair amount of intransigence about my syllables. Okay. Jay Carney about the process of charging this guy.
Well, we have a process in this country where we have to find grounds for action, and the FBI did an investigation and did not find grounds for action at the time.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's the other debate, is whether the FBI screwed up or not.
Yeah.
And, you know, even, yeah, I mean, it would seem like on the surface, like, yeah, but I don't, even Lindsey Graham, well-known Southern belle who is prone to the vapors.
See, there you go, making fun of people again.
He said.
Next, you've been making fun of his accent. It sounds like a Southern belle.
No, he will always have Tara, and I'm happy for him about that.
He will never go hungry again.
Right. No, he had on Sunday strongly questioned the FBI's handling of a tip from Russian officials about Sarnoff. Oh, boy. I need to practice the last name.
Yes. If you're going to be doing public speaking.
You try it.
What?
Sarnoff.
Thank God thank you. My job doesn't involve public speaking. Okay. He said he spoke with the agency's deputy director Sunday night and is now satisfied with the response. Graham said once the Russians made the request, the FBI did a good job of looking at him. He said the FBI interviewed him, his parents, his schoolmates, did a thorough record search to see if anything came up. The agency found nothing and then wrote Russian authorities back to see if they had further information but did not receive a response. So, I guess more will come out about this. But the one thing that he did say, the FBI had told him he was initially unaware that Tamerlan had traveled to Russia early last year because of his name was misspelled.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Mm. Yeah.
See, because the name is not easy, last caller.
It's the name was originally written in Cyrillic. So,
there's
going to be...
There are a few...
which is my favorite color crayon, by the way.
Huh?
Never
That's
mind.
Burnt sienna.
Right. He went over to Russia, but apparently when he got on the Aeroflot plane, they misspelled his name. Grant said so it never went into the system that he actually went to Russia. So
Aeroflot, not known for its perfection. So.
To think?
Okay.
Something special in the air or maybe on the ground.
Dana in Maryland. Hey, Dana. Welcome.
Hi. Good morning, you guys.
Good
How
morning.
You doing?
Good morning. I'm apparently... I'm a racist mispronouncer.
How dare you?
You know what? That's not even worth your breath. No. I mean, that's a ridiculous comment. You know,
she wants me to stop being such a joker about Jokar and be serious.
Yeah, ridiculous. Right. So I wanted to say, with the bombing and everything, maybe Congress should take a look at what we're doing that's good. You know, the cop bringing the milk, as Chris said, running to give blood. And I don't know if you saw the Chicago Tribune, but they said we are Boston, you know, White Sox. You know what I mean? They, like, called all their Chicago teams by Boston teams. And it was a really cool cover of the paper.
Right.
And we're just working together, and that's what we do. We take care of each other. And, you know, Congress should maybe take a look at how this is done. You know, put them in their little dunce cap and give them a juice and a cookie and show them the little film. Americans getting together and loving each other and buying milk for each other.
Well, that's
that difficult.
Dana, it's actually a really good point that, you know, you think it shouldn't take something like that. But you're right. When we have these things, it also brings out the best in Americans. And you think all these stories of heroism in Boston, there was a doctor, the woman that was running.
Right.
And, you know, jumped over barricades, saved as many people as she could. She's not asking who's Democrat and who's Republican. Are you
what religion you are, or how you say your last name, or whatever nonsense they can come up with, you know. And I just think think that they should watch a little tutorial to see how it's done. It's really easy.
Yep, exactly.
So, and I love you guys, and have a great week.
Thank you, Angel. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, we continue with all the latest out of Boston on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This is Two Weird Men.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. How do you get kicked out of a mosque anyway? Does anyone?
By causing a ruckus.
Wow. He apparently, they mentioned Martin Luther King. And he did not like that because he said he's not a Muslim. He said you should not be talking about him, and then they almost gave him the boot. Do they have bouncers? I don't really know.
They don't have bouncers at all.
I'm just asking. No. He had two outbursts in the last year, mm-hmm. is what the latest report is this morning. Lindsey Graham talking about the whole enemy combatant.
I'm asking this administration to leave on the table the option, if the evidence warrants, to designate this individual as an enemy combatant. What do we know? We know that these two individuals embrace radical Islamic thought, that there is ample evidence this was an attack inspired by radical ideology. They were not trying to rob a bank in Boston.
Michael Tomosky, who, as you know, I want to date and kiss, from the Daily Beast, he wrote a great piece, as usual, The Conservative Paranoid Mind, but he said, as usual, conservatives rushing to judgment, shredding the Constitution, using the bombing as a pretext for derailing immigration reform, generally seeking any excuse to reimpose their paranoid and authoritarian worldview, which needs fear like a vampire needs blood on the rest of us. The cry was led over the weekend by the usual suspects, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Kelly Ayotte, Peter King, on the basis of what evidence? On the basis of no evidence at all. I mean, that's the thing. It's like they don't know what they're talking about. The FBI at this point is saying they do not believe that they're connected to Al-Qaeda or a larger terrorist organization.
Yeah.
But anyway, Lindsey Graham again.
The ability to have access to this suspect without a lawyer present to gather intelligence about a future attack is absolutely essential to our national security.
I'm telling you, just Cindy, what's her name? She's a Delta Gamma, that girl. Send her in. And she will.
You have been teasing that story all morning long.
Punch him. I've just never heard that
no,
word.
No, punch.
Right.
It rhymes with.
Right.
The first
right.
word.
Okay, I think we know.
What? Well, you said punch, so apparently you didn't know.
Can I have
know.
Some comedy music? I'm sorry, I have been teasing this
I will
morning.
Lunch punch
if you.
Haven't...
Lunch punch.
I will hit you with a sandwich.
Okay. Yeah, and by the way, he's already talking. Not talking, but he's,
communicating.
Yes.
Yes.
Donald Trump. Let's waterboard him. That'll be good for someone with a throat injury. Okay. Yeah, this Gawker, I'm reading it from Gawker, but it's the most deranged sorority girl email you will ever read.
Yeah.
She could interrogate him. She is terrifying. Gawker says, last week, bitches got told. A tipster forwarded us the following expletive encapsulating an email tirade sent to the entire sorority chapter by one of its executive board members that will go down in history as one of the most passionate denunciations of awkward and boringness ever committed to words. The impetus for the emails? Sisters' inability to participate in Greek Week activities, particularly those involving their match-up fraternity, Sigma Nu.
Much better than Sigma Old.
To this, right, to the satisfaction of the board.
So superficial. Oh, my God. I love it.
You know I didn't bleep the right word. Let me just get my finger permanently on here.
Boy. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, boy. Just call the FCC preemptively.
Exactly. I'll just read some of the choice parts. I do not give a flying, and Sigma Nu does not give a flying, about how much you love to talk to your sisters. You have 361 days out of the year to talk to sisters, and this week is not, I repeat, not one of them. Are you people retarded? That's not a rhetorical question. I literally want you to email me back telling me if you're so mentally slow so I can make sure you don't go to any more nighttime events. I not only got texts about people being weird at sports events. They're being weird.
Weird.
But I've gotten texts about people actually cheering for the opposing team. The opposing team. Are you stupid? Here's the part. I will punt the next person I hear doing something like that, and I don't give a if you... I will assault you.
Wow.
I swear to God, if I see anyone being a damn boner at tonight's event, I will tell you to leave even if you're sober. I would have rather have 40 girls that are fun, talk to boys, and not awkward than 80 that are... F-word for gay man.
Oh, God!
But, you know, all the apologies we read from, you know, politicians, you got to give her a little credit. She actually ends up by saying, for those of you who are offended by this email, I would apologize, but I really don't give a... Go yourself.
Wow!
Sister does not back down.
No.
Give it to her. I don't know if I've never heard that expression myself.
The...
Right.
Punt?
Yes.
About the Lunts, the acting family?
Yes.
No, a lot of people are thanking this girl for introducing that phrase into our lexicon.
Right?
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. I can't say that enough.
The bleeping lexicon.
Roman in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Roman.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
So, I don't know if you guys had noticed that he's been charged with weapons of mass destruction.
Yes.
Yeah.
And federal crime. So it's interesting about that because that comes from a 1994 law, and in the 1994 law, the ability to charge someone with weapons of mass destruction required a direct correlation to an impact on interstate commerce. So if they hadn't shut down the T and hadn't shut down basically all the business in the city of Boston, they would have been unable to make that argument. There's a Supreme Court case called U.S. v. Lopez that lays that out. So by locking everybody down and by going through all this, you know, sort of over-the-top police action, they've bolstered their case to try him as a federal in federal court so he can be sentenced to death since Massachusetts doesn't have a death penalty.
Right. Oh, I see.
Interesting fact there, though, WMD, as it's defined in the 1994 Violent Crime and Prevention Act, I think it was called, is assault weapons.
Oh, really?
Oh, interesting. Hmm. Yeah, interesting.
Because they can cause mass destruction, yeah.
Yeah, and have.
Yes,
a number
absolutely.
Of occasions, yeah. Senator Lindsey Graham yesterday.
The FBI and the CIA and every intelligence agency we have is scrambling to figure out what's coming next.
Yes. That's why it's called
it's
an investigation.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Robert in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Robert.
Hey, first of all, I just want to know what sorority Lindsey Graham belonged to in college.
Oh.
Second of all, I was wondering if he's in need of a good punting at this point.
All right.
Anyway.
Yes, go ahead.
Anyway, you know, the thing is that the elder, the dead Tsarnaev.
Yes.
He was booted out of a mosque a couple of times. And you know what they were preaching in the mosque? That it's cool to celebrate American holidays. And
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you all the details of that when we come back. 58 minutes after the hour. That, Charlie Pierce, much more on the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Charlie Pierce coming up at the what a great week to talk to him.
Yeah.
He obviously was great with us on the Breaking News Days last week. He is back in Boston, and we will talk to him at the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, so a lot to get to, a lot of issues being raised by this the Boston case. And I was saying, Michael Tomosky, who I want to date and kiss and marry, but he just has a great...
And he's good-looking, too, so...
Yes.
Go for it.
He has a great... Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate your support.
No problem.
This may be me. Man charged after alleged naked dog door crawl.
What?
Huh? If he has a dog door, I may crawl through it at some point. A Riverside County man has pled not guilty to burglary and indecent exposure after he allegedly crawled naked through a neighbor's door to his dog door to seek sex.
Wow. Oh. Okay.
The woman says she opened the her bedroom door to find her neighbor standing there naked and possibly drunk.
Possibly.
The man allegedly announced he was there to have sex.
Maybe he should have called first.
Yeah. you know, maybe a dinner.
Flowers.
Just a neighbor. Trying to borrow some sugar. All right, whatever. All right, Mike Tomosky, just great stuff, the conservative paranoid mind, but interesting because everybody's talking about Bush because of his new library.
You got a library.
Check it out.
He's got a lot of coloring books.
Right. Okay, is Ruggie there? Have we heard if Ruggie is there or not?
There's no room for Ruggie.
No.
So optimistical. So too many piles of comic books and...
It is a sunny, optimistical rug. Anyway, he talks about your favorite conservatives, especially in talk radio, notably Laura Ingraham.
Yeah.
No, these are tweets, so you don't have to hear her voice.
All right.
Arguing that the bombings prove that now isn't the time to be liberalizing our immigration laws. What? These guys were 9 and 16 years old when they came here. What exact change in immigration law would prevent two future Sarnoff brothers from carrying out another bombing? It's absurd. Funny thing, this urge to prevent, he writes, it's awfully selective. Have you noticed? Tens or perhaps hundreds of thousands of minors, many of them Muslim, have immigrated legally to the U.S. since 1986, the last time immigration law was substantially changed. Some of them are no doubt reprobates or drunks or criminals, but surely some are cardiologists, inventors, successful capitalists, innovative artists. But suddenly these two guys and these two guys alone offer some kind of proof we need to crack down to prevent this from happening again. Meanwhile, we have a pile of dead bodies higher than the Himalayas, the vast majority of them slain by native-born Americans who can go online or to a gun show and acquire all the weaponry and ammo they please, but we can't ever try to do anything to prevent that. The Second Amendment is inviolate, can't be touched or impinged upon in any way. To do that is fascism. Just some great points regarding all this. And then he finishes, this is where the Bush thing comes in. With regard to terrorism, they need people to live in fear of the next attack because fear makes people think about death. Thinking about death makes people more likely to endorse tough guy law and order, constitution shredding actions undertaken on their behalf. This is how we lived under Bush and Cheney for years. The fear is basically what enabled Iraq. The Iraq war to take place. Public opinion didn't support the war at first, but once they got the public afraid with all that false talk of mushroom clouds, the needle zoomed past 50%, it was bombs away. Conservatism, I fear, so to speak, can never be cleansed of this need to instill fear, whether it's of black people or street thugs or of immigrants or terrorists or jackbooted government agents. It's how the conservative mind works. I don't even think it's always cynical and manipulative. Conservatives often do see enemies under every bed. That doesn't mean they're there, and it most definitely doesn't mean the rest of us ought to make law and policy based on their nightmares. Thank you, Michael Tosky. Good stuff. As usual. All right, Governor Deval Patrick talking.
We have a million questions, and those questions need to be answered.
Yeah, just wait for a second, Lindsey Graham, before you get the vapors again. The latest I was talking about this morning, when preachers told congregants at a mosque in November that it was appropriate for Muslims to celebrate U.S. holidays such as the 4th of July and Thanksgiving, Tamerlan, that guy, that was one of the outbursts he had. He said it was, he said it's a celebration of any holiday was not allowed in the faith. Two U.S. officials told the Associated Press Monday the brothers were motivated by religion, but appear not to be tied to any Islamic terrorist groups, much to the chagrin of the right wing. And then the second time, this was in January, the mosque said, Tamerlan had a similar outburst. This time the sermon included praise for Martin Luther King Jr., and this time he called the preacher a non-believer and a hypocrite who was contaminating people's minds. Congregants shouted back at him, telling him to leave, and he did. So it was like a deaf Muslim jam. It was just a lot of yelling, a lot of whatever. Governor Deval Patrick. This is the doctor at Boston Medical Center. Yeah.
Nearly all of the patients that have lost legs are already walking the halls with physical therapists. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of safety, a lot of practice, and they have to learn new routines. But we're all gearing up for a mass exodus to rehab, hopefully during this upcoming week.
Yeah, I don't know if you're reading a lot of these stories, but that's something, just because there's been so much news that you don't think about, is all of these people. They were saying it literally, it was like a war zone. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the amount of people that, can you imagine, last week had legs, were running, training for a marathon, and now don't. I mean, it's you know, one of the incredible, that trauma is going to go on forever. All right. Oh, he's here early.
There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Pierce. Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why's everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, breaking news reporter Charlie Pierce. You did a spectacular job last week.
Hey, thank you, Stephanie Miller. Guess where I am?
Where?
I'm at St. Bonaventure University.
Oh wow, that's in upstate New York.
I'm in Stephanie Miller country.
Thank you. Give them my regards. So Charlie, I you were on with us.
There are a remarkable number of trees with your initials carved into them.
I know. I don't know what I was thinking. So Charlie, really, what an incredible.
And notches carved under them too, which is interesting. It was really something. It was so bizarre to see, like, every a lot of the parts of your life on TV with armored personnel carriers rolling down the street.
Yeah.
I lived in Watertown for the first 3 or 4 years I was married, and I blogged from Watertown Square. That's where, the blog HQ is. And, there it is on CNN with a tank rolling past it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I have to admit it was fun to get back to actual reporting again. That was fun. Yeah.
I know. Well, I was going to say, obviously this is bringing up a lot of issues in terms of, the enemy combatant thing. It's incredible though. Like we were just talking about the fact they're trying to get a lot of conservatives wanted to tank the immigration deal anyway, don't you think? And now this is their latest thing they're trying to use.
Yeah, because we have to watch out for 9-year-old Muslims coming from parts of the world that are not the Middle East, because you can never tell what may happen 10 years down the line.
Right. We need to put Tom Cruise in charge.
You can't trust Caucasians, apparently.
Yeah. It needs to be a minority report. We need someone in charge that will know what someone is planning.
Not only, you know what, Caucasians, you really can't trust the ones from the Caucasus.
Exactly.
I know. I was reading a piece on that, Charlie, that it is amazing how they've suddenly ceased to be white. Like, the only time we heard Caucasian used was, like, the police chief saying they're too Caucasian.
I mean, these guys are the most Caucasian people you can be. You can't be any more Caucasian than be from the Caucasus.
The Caucasus, right.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, you were irritated by the same Maureen Dowd piece I was, and I love Maureen Dowd, but, You write, in which Maureen Dowd seeks a manly man. Go ahead.
I don't love Maureen Dowd. I wish Maureen Dowd would go away and take all her imitators with her. This was appalling. What he should do is what Michael Douglas did in The American President. First of all, Michael Douglas lost in The American President. I don't know if anybody remembers the movie.
Yes,
his
I do.
His bond bill failed, and then he gave a speech, but we don't know whether the thing passed afterwards or not. All we know is he got a net betting back.
Yes, that's the important thing. But no, I mean, you're absolutely right. It's just I get tired of it. Everything is the president's fault somehow. If only the president, had, the Republicans over for beers more, whatever, right?
I was very impressed by her suggestion that the real key to the thing would have been to get Begich really drunk, and then he would have voted for it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's incredible. Well, Charlie, Boston is I love all these stories, like you're saying that the Boston Strong stuff that's signs everywhere.
Well, not just that. But you just had that soundbite from the doctor. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That so many of these people with these grievous injuries have survived. And just to watch the efficiency. And really, the balance of efficiency and human decency shown by the law enforcement.
Yeah.
It was really impressive. And as I think I've told a couple. I don't know if I told you this last week, but I think the two national stars to come out of this are Devon Patrick and the Boston Police Commissioner Ed Davis, who just did a tremendous job.
Yeah. I've heard that a lot. We've had Governor Patrick on the show, mm-hmm. and I've always thought he was impressive. But he's you hate to talk of a tragedy in those kind of terms, but it really has upped his political profile, hasn't it?
Well, I honestly don't think he's got any national ambitions. I think he wouldn't mind being attorney general. I don't think he wants to run for anything nationally. I think he wants to retire as governor and make money. But no, I thought a lot of this, and that was the whole thing. That was the great thing about this. We didn't need Gitmo. We didn't need the Patriot Act. We didn't need preventive detention. We didn't need torture. This was a really good job of civilian police work.
Well, exactly. Jim always makes this point about how, effectively we were doing that with Clinton, and then, Bush comes in, and this is what we get, Iraq and Guantanamo. And
you're welcome, America.
Yeah. But, that's what I'm saying. Go ahead.
No, I tweeted after they caught him. I tweeted, you know, hey, Dick Cheney, you know, Dick Cheney, you undead so-and-so. This is what real police work looks like.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of the cheering of public employees getting fired by the Republicans, I thought, what a great, you know what I mean, what a great example of this is why we should, applaud cops. I mean, I loved seeing these cops getting rock star cheers all over Boston.
Yeah.
When you
well-trained union employees can be an asset.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well-trained union employees who aren't worried about their pension
can
really be an asset. Right.
Exactly. Charlie Pierce, I'll give my love to the boys at Bonaventure. And
I'm looking around. Wait a minute, hang on one second. I'm going over this tree. What does this word right here mean? Oh, never mind.
Never mind. Charlie Pierce, see you next week, honey.
Right. Next week, love.
All right, love you. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Red, white, and Steph. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. 22 minutes after the hour, this hour brought to you by TheraBreath mouthwash and toothpaste. Nothing works faster, lasts longer at knocking out bad breath than TheraBreath. TheraBreath mouthwash and toothpaste available at Target, Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Mike in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I like to define myself as a conservative, but I'm a conservative as I believe is in the true conservatism. I believe that whether or not what the law is what the law is. I am pro-choice, pro-gun, pro-every. However, my biggest concern, and it saddens me, that how divided and separate we are as a nation to take such a tragic event like this and turn it into a political thing. It just really is upsetting.
Well, what do you? Okay, let's start with who and what. Like what? How? I mean, to me,
both parties. I mean,
how are both parties doing it though? This is what I agree with you on some things, but I think there's a false equivalence in this case. I believe it was, you know, right wingers are out there immediately. Chuck Grassley was the first one to say, "Oh, this is we got to, you know, hold up on immigration reform." Right in the middle of this.
Exactly.
I mean, we spotlighted the Republican from Arkansas that tweeted in the middle of the tragedy about cowering liberals wish they had an AR-15 tonight. I bet. I mean.
Now we're all debating the fact of how this individual is going to be prosecuted. And it's from both parties, whether, you know, the Republican side, the Democratic side. Everybody's saying criminal, then they're saying national.
Okay, but again, Mike, it's not like there's two sides of an issue. In the law, an enemy combatant, first of all, he's an American citizen. He committed a crime on American soil. At this time, the FBI says he has no ties to terrorist groups. How do you prosecute him in a military tribunal exactly?
Exactly. I agree with that.
Okay.
I agree with the Democratic side saying that this is a criminal case. And that's what I mean. That's why I feel like I'm a conservative, but yet I'm a true conservative. And the fact that I do believe by the law.
But you're not giving me any examples on the other side of how somebody on the left is unfairly politicizing this.
Well, the first thing I would hear about on the left is the first thing that comes up is right away the first day on Thursday or Friday when this is all going on, all of a sudden gun control was an issue. And to me, that's not the issue at the point. It's just how divided as a nation we are. It's just very upsetting.
Okay, Mike, but there's real issues that could really impact. I was going to say the ability to track explosives probably would have saved the life of this cop in Boston. So is that politicizing
it's the
it?
NRA that
I mean, is the president, after Newtown, saying we really ought to do something about common sense gun measures, is that politicizing a tragedy, or is that reacting to a tragedy to try to help, you know, help it not happen again?
The sad fact is most of the explosive itself could be made in anybody's kitchen from homemade ingredients, and that's the sad part.
But if we could track the explosives, what I'm saying is they could have solved this a lot quicker. But the NRA has prevented us from being able to trace explosives of any kind.
Not to sidetrack you at all, but I saw pictures of you on the left, and let me tell you, you are gorgeous.
Oh, well, thank you. Now you've sidetracked me. Wait a minute.
You turned me into a lesbian, no offense. But
you're just a lesbian trapped in a man's body.
All right. I don't know what that was spectacular.
Wow.
I think I was making too many good points, and he had to appeal to my vanity, which worked like that. Shiny keys, what? Pretty? Oh!
That's how I get your attention.
I think I was winning that argument.
You were.
Yeah.
Okay. And so he had to go completely off topic.
It worked. Still a girl. Amy in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Amy.
Hi. I'm just wondering if Lindsey Graham also believes that the Tucson shooter and the Aurora shooter should also be enemy combatants, because they killed a lot more people than these two brothers did. And if they are enemy combatants, then I want to know where they bought the guns. I want to know where they got the ammunition, how they got it. And that I'm just curious of what Lindsey Graham would think about that with those particular mass murders that brought into a community.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of people made that point in writing and elsewhere. Catherine in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kath.
Good morning.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a point that it seems like no one can say the word terrorist without putting Islamic before it. And when we had the abortion clinics being bombed, you didn't hear Christian terrorists.
Right.
And you didn't
or
hear
domestic
people
terrorists.
Saying,
right.
Yeah.
Or
and
Tim
you didn't
McVeigh.
Hear people
yep.
Yeah, saying that, if you belong to the Right to Life people, then you're a Christian terrorist. I mean, it's just going, and when people say, oh, it's religious terrorism, it's trying to take whatever the religion is and pervert it and say that they believe in terrorism. And your Montana guy that called up about the search, the NRA has already got all their plants out there saying, this is Obama's way of saying he can go house to house and take away your guns.
Yes.
And they're just starting that whole stuff about search.
Oh, no, we literally had a caller yesterday who, as Jim said, really kind of implied that Boston was just a dress rehearsal for Obama shutting down the entire country so he can grab your guns. Yeah.
That's not helpful.
Yes. By the way, Mediaite has a great plea. Please don't judge all Caucasians by the actions of a few.
Yes.
Which we will talk about as we continue. 29 minutes after the hour of the Stephanie Miller Show.
It will only be open minds and new horizons. Get ready for
Stephanie Miller.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Rick in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rick.
I think I've noticed that the left, you guys seize the opportunity to politicize just about every cause you have almost instantaneously.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if there's one thing that I have got to marvel at, it's the way that that within a 48-hour period of time, everybody on the left is parroting the same exact statement, the same slogan. I mean, it's a very organized
about
and very
what?
Impressive.
Well, about
let's just take the gun control issue, which is you recoil when you hear the word gun control in American. But guns.
So it was a Republican that tweeted that cowering liberals wish they had an AR-15 in Boston tonight, right in the middle of the trip. So that's the left.
Not politicizing.
That's not politicizing it.
And then there was obviously
no answer. Yeah. Hello.
No answer. Okay. Moving right along. Right.
Maybe our connection's not good. Hello.
No, I didn't say the right didn't politicize things. I said that it's probably a 9-to-1 ratio when it comes to
politicizing. So how is the left politicizing what happened in Boston?
We've already had to return to gun control, to gun safety legislation. Where did they get the guns? How come this? And I mean, when you listen to Al Sharpton and you see you guys, I mean, it's unbelievable how fast you do your thing.
What are you talking
about? So you don't think guns played a part in the Newtown massacre?
Yes, of course guns played a part.
Okay, so why aren't we allowed to talk about guns? Anytime we talk about guns, we're politicizing it? That seems to be what you're saying.
You politicized gun control before the last child was even buried. And nobody even investigated what happened. It was just take the guns, just let's gun control.
So is there a reason that over 90% of the American people agree with us about that? The background checks would probably help stop more Newtowns from happening?
As you know, you're very bright people. You know what earmarks are. When there's a bill up to be voted on, there's all sorts of earmarks. There's all sorts of amendments. So when it's voted down, it's because of the politicizing of an issue. If it was just background checks, I mean, I've heard Norman Golden say it was a watered-down version. We know that's not the case. When you read it, it's all sorts of things put in there at the last moment, in the last chambers, and the last stuff. It is absolutely, I would have to say that the left is absolutely, right now, the modern progressive movement is one of the greatest sales pitches I've ever seen since I've been on this planet. I'm closing in on the half century mark.
Wow, so.
So it's.
Not allowed to talk about guns after a massacre with guns has happened.
Totally. Okay. Irrelevant.
So because the president ran and went and won two landslides because of he's just a slick salesman, is that?
I absolutely believe this is a very, very, very effective political campaigner. Barack Obama is fantastic. He's not a bad president. I'm not saying he's a good president in many respects. But when it comes to selling the progressive movement, it's just in concert as anything I've ever seen.
Well, you know.
All right. Well,
being president does take a small amount of sales work. Ronald Reagan was a great salesman as well. So
I've never heard anyone accuse liberals of being organized. I don't.
Yeah, that's
no 90%.
I mean, I don't have to have meetings with Al Sharpton because I can hear him from here. So.
How is it they can separate guns from gun violence? How does that work exactly?
I don't.
How dare you talk about guns after a gun slaying massive killing?
Right. For instance, here is noted. Weed, former Representative Joe Walsh, it seems like it's politicizing the Boston tragedy just a little, to make a point about immigration.
We're at war, and this country got a stark reminder last week, again, that we're at war, and not only should we take a pause, Martin, when it comes to our immigration, we need to begin profiling who our enemy is in this war, young Muslim men.
Yes, you know what? That was a stark reminder of why you're not a congressman anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
All right. Oh, would you like to hear the Russian conspiracy theory?
Sure.
This is awesome.
Okay.
This is awesome.
Austin?
Awesome.
I know North Korea wanted to blow up Austin.
No, that's right. Another story.
Okay.
Austin Powers wanted... Well, never mind.
No, that's different. Boston bombing's a gift to Putin, says Chechen opposition leader.
That's what I was thinking.
There's some interesting stuff here. This is in the Daily Beast. Russia's president now gets to tell the West, I told you so, about Chechens after the Smirnov brothers
were revealed
as the bombing suspects. Chechnya's opposition prime minister said.
Chechnya.
Told the Daily Beast. What?
Chechnya.
That's good. In trans and Chechnya.
I picked a bad day
from
to
the Caucasus.
Sniffing airplane glue. Okay.
But I said when Putin suddenly came out of nowhere, it's...
This is before this came out who it was. I was like, why is Russia offering...
It's not enough alarm bells. I thought they're trying to enlist us to help them fight the Chechens.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this is what, anyway, he says in the piece. He says, after expressing his condolence for the victims, he said Chechens and the Chechen nation are not responsible for what two crazy guys committed in the United States, underscoring that the brothers spent most of their lives outside Chechnya, which is true. 3 years ago, Putin said that Western nations granting political asylum to Chechens will have problems with these Chechens. It's this type of comment that raises his suspicions. Throughout our conversation, he hinted at a darker conspiracy, suggesting that if the Putin regime benefited politically from the attack, it could have been in some way been involved in facilitating it.
Mm-hmm.
That would be yikes.
Yeah.
I mean, if that is proven.
I thought that immediately when he Then Putin chimed in.
Yeah.
Said, wait a minute.
Yeah.
He's got an ulterior motive here.
It's like those news reporters that are always at the scene a little too quickly. Mm-hmm. You're like, I think they were involved somehow. Nancy Grace, I think she's involved in several of the murders she covers. I don't have any evidence to base that on.
God. There goes the Nancy Grace booking.
Suddenly it was like...
But her lawyer...
You're right, there was Putin before we even knew who the suspects were. Beep, can we help? Mm-hmm. Can I help in any way?
Like,
Russia? Russia? What are you doing here?
Oh, they're Chechens. What the coincidence?
Oh, they're from Chechnya. That's interesting, because we're having a little problem with them.
Russia here! Let us
Boris, in! Boris, answer door!
Natasha, look out, Chechens on porch.
Don't did let them in. Did you Orly Tate? Seriously. Regardless of where the investigation leads, he stresses that his exile government is a friend of the United States. To Americans hearing the name of his country for the first time, he says, don't try to link this tragic crime in Boston to the Chechen nation. So, just interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Just interesting.
Yeah.
I know he's very fit, but that was pretty speedy.
And Tamerlan spent some time in Russia before all this happened. So maybe he was getting some training.
His dad lives in Russia.
Yeah.
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 Hmm. Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Greg in Long Island. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Greg.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. You want to tell me that I'm wrong about everything?
Yeah, you're wrong about everything. All but right. I just have to tell you that I really love you guys. You're so absolutely hilarious that it's entertaining. And I got other conservative buddies of mine to watch your show.
Oh.
It's just, the Jim's voices and Chris's a pisser. And you're all really, really good.
I'm what?
A pisser.
I'm a pisser?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wicked. All right.
But the thing is, you're wrong about everything.
About everything? Awesome. Ever. Well, that's what makes it so entertaining. Do you guys throw stuff at the TV a lot?
Your hatred of the Bush administration that... Your support of the Obama administration, the single worst president that we've
ever had. Oh, dear. Okay. Well, Greg, I don't... Right. Let me return the compliment that you are wrong about everything. But my point is, I don't hate the Bush administration. I hated the unnecessary war. Did you like the war in Iraq?
No, of course not.
Okay, well, what...
The war in Afghanistan,
I don't hate George Bush personally. I don't know him. I hated his policies.
Do you believe that he lied about weapons of mass destruction?
Yes. Yes, yes I do.
Absolutely not.
Well,
really?
He may have believed it. He may have believed it wasn't true.
Hillary Clinton, John Kerry.
That's because they were all shown the same cherry-picked, twisted intelligence. All right, I can't have this
argument again. If they'd listened to Hans Blix,
sakes.
Who was on the ground looking into it,
exactly.
They would have known that there were no weapons of mass destruction.
Instead, they listened to a guy named Curveball.
Yeah. Yes. He did have chemical weapons in the war against Iran, during which we supported Saddam Hussein, by the way.
Yes.
But those things deteriorated after a while. There were no useful weapons of mass destruction in Iraq at the time. It was a.
I don't know about you, but I can't hear that argument enough. Can you?
Because they were shown the same cherry-picked information,
right, and twisted intelligence sprinkled with lies.
Because you know who's more trustworthy than a guy named Curveball?
Yeah, exactly.
Wasn't he a drunk?
Yes, I'm a notorious drunk, but you guys don't take anything I say as gospel.
Hell no.
Nobody's starting a war based on anything I say.
Nations go to war over women like you.
Right.
It's just a form of appreciation.
Exactly. Thank you very much. All right. Here they are. Well, it's John and Pam. Okay. I was giving you this because I thought you saw the thing. Here they are.
A while ago, but yeah. I didn't go to them.
From Ohio, it's the John and Pam Show. It's the John and Pam, John and Pam, John and Pam Show.
Good morning, kids.
Good morning.
Good morning, sweethearts. And I love all three of you. I'm going to let John talk fast or talk first, and I hope he talks fast.
Yeah, do it, John.
You better hurry up, honey.
Okay, for everybody out there, it says background checks don't work. Canada, neighbors to the north, just failed to accuse people trying Al-Qaeda of blowing up one of their trains. Canada's had background checks for not only guns, but for almost anything coming into their country for years. And that just shows background check, which Congress needs to get off their butts and take care of, work. Here's Pam.
All right. Oh,
but that's
big
government. We can't have that.
What?
It's much better to have tragedies every other week.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And then blame it on our president. Are they stupid? You know, and something else, Steph, I'm going to tell you. All these people out there that's got their little home arsenals and things, and they think that the president is going to come and take their guns. Now, when the big black helicopters come flying over their house and them 100-man SWAT team surrounds their home, that's when he's going to come take the guns. This crap of what they're saying about Boston, that is just disgusting.
That is
so disrespectful of the people of Boston and what happened up there. It just breaks my heart.
Yep.
And if there be more background, where did these guns come from? You know, I mean, people need to wake up and see the president isn't going to take our guns or anything. He just wants people that shouldn't have them. Not have them.
Yep, absolutely. All right, kids, love you. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller. If you have half a brain.
50 minutes after the hour, Matthew Breen, editor-in-chief of The Advocate, joins us in the studio next hour to talk about the Boy Scouts' incomprehensible new policy on the gays.
Yeah, they released that policy in the Friday night document dump while
when there was no other news going on.
Right, exactly.
They would think it's skate by. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Clyde in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Clyde.
Hey, how you doing, Stephanie?
Good.
I just wanted to say the previous caller you had, he said that the liberals were taking advantage of talking about gun control right after an accident or a murder, all those murders take place. Well, if we follow his logic, we would never get to talk about murders,
right?
Or gun control. I mean, murders happen every day with guns. If we waited until after every funeral, when would we ever get to talk about it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and plus it just, you know, it doesn't make any sense. Obviously, there's a direct correlation with guns in Newtown. There is no direct correlation on immigration with this. Like, I mean, honestly, what, you're going to not let somebody in that's seeking political asylum because when they're 10 years later, they might, how would you?
Yeah, that's insane. That's minority report, you know,
right? Yeah.
Trying to predict.
That's what I said. Put Tom Cruise in charge.
Okay.
Put that fancy John King kind of thing that he does this with.
What?
I don't know.
Huh?
That screen. That's, you know, where they...
Or Michael Schur.
Right.
You made Michael Schur break his screen when you had him do that.
On election night.
That's right.
I wanted him to turn a bunch of states purple, and he broke it.
And he broke it.
I broke current. Okay.
You're the one who broke current.
Sorry. Could have asked Oprah. I broke oxygen. And do your research. Okay. The two brothers suspected of the bombing in Boston appear to have been motivated by their religious faith, but do not seem connected to any Muslim terrorist group, U.S. officials said Monday after interrogating Joe Carr. And now, this is kind of chilling that they were outlining the evidence in the court papers. The FBI said he was seen on surveillance cameras putting the knapsack down on the ground near the site of the second blast, then manipulating a cell phone and lifting it to his ears. Seconds later, the first explosion went off about a block down the street. You could see him on the tape, apparently, unlike anyone around him, looked calm and just quickly walked away.
Yeah.
The court papers also said during the long night of crime Thursday and Friday that led to the older brother's death and his capture, one of the brothers told the carjacking victims, "Did you hear about the Boston explosion? I did that." Wow. This is the guy who claims to be, you know, have been carjacked. He said they spared him because he wasn't American. Inside the car, the brothers declared they were the Boston Marathon bombers. The carjacking victim heard the suspects who were speaking in a foreign language use the word Manhattan. So there was, you know, speculation they were going ahead to New York. Mediaite, I was saying, great piece on please don't judge all Caucasians by the actions of a few. We were saying that it's amazing how these guys are just not, and they actually come from the place where the word Caucasian comes from.
The Caucasus,
Caucasus Mountains.
Tommy Christopher and me, also my favorite line of the week. Tamerlan Sarnov reportedly shot and run over with explosives strapped to him, and amid unconfirmed reports he was clutching an Acme company receipt. There's been a rush to triumphantly point and laugh at liberal commentator David Sirota's preference that the bombers turn out to be like the cheese on his ham sandwich, white and American. As it happens, both of them turned out to be Caucasian, one of them was American, but we can't allow their actions to define all Caucasian Americans. Lucky for white Americans, Sirota was at least half right. When perpetrators of horrific acts turn out to be white, there is some phenomenon that causes their whiteness to become completely irrelevant, even if they are actually from the place where whiteness gets its name.
Yep. Right.
Until Friday, I always thought Caucasian was just a name that some fancy racist thought up to make white people sound better than Negroids or Mongoloids.
Oh, God.
But it turns out there's a real place called Caucasia, and the Boston bombing suspects
Caucasus,
are from it.
Not Caucasia.
Right.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Well, that's what he...
Yeah. Well, I think he was making...
Yes,
making
he was
a
making
point.
It. Oh, okay. Okay. You would never know that these guys were Caucasian, let alone white, from the way cable news has been reporting on them. That's because David Sirota didn't count on the one possibility that can nullify a white American bomber, a white American Muslim bomber. And he makes some good points. The Oak Creek mass shooting was actually the last incidence of domestic terrorism in this country. It was committed by a white supremacist who walked into a Sikh house of worship. We did not hear calls for white people to be profiled. We did not hear Christianity denigrated or Christians living in fear. The way that our country diagnoses a problem when it's a white perpetrator, it's an individual problem. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That really is a good point. I think somebody did that thing on Facebook, right, where they put all of the, you know, recent, huge percentage of them are white.
White Christian.
Right, Christian. And okay, Pat Leahy chastised some of his Republican colleagues. Did you see this? A little spat.
Yeah.
A little senatorial spat. For saying immigration reform should be delayed in the light of the bombing. He said late last week, opponents of comprehensive immigration reform began to exploit the Boston Marathon bombing. I urge restraint in that regard. Let no one be so cruel as to try to use the heinous acts of two young men last week to derail the dreams and futures of millions of hardworking people. Grassley defended himself, saying others have exploited the tragedy on other issues. See, again, false analogies, such as on gun control and workplace safety. He said, I want you to take note of the fact that when you proposed gun legislation, I didn't accuse you of using the Newtown killings as an excuse, and I don't hear any criticism of people when there's 14 people killed in West Texas and taking advantage of that tragedy to warn about more government action to make sure fertilizer factories are safe. Okay. First of all,
so
those two
safety
things would help stop those two tragedies. Immigration
a bad thing,
reform
apparently.
Has nothing to do with the Boston suspects.
No.
It's not...
Wow, that's a shoehorn they're using.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yikes. It's an addition of Boner is right. Wow. John Boner said Monday he disagrees with the idea the Boston bombing should delay immigration reform. He said if we fix our immigration system, it may actually help us understand who all is here, why they're here, and what legal status they have.
Huh. He said something that made sense.
I know. Chuck Schumer said, I say that particularly to those who are pointing to what happened, the terrible tragedy in Boston, as I would say, an excuse for not doing the bill or delaying it. And then Grassley said, I never said that. Did you see how pissed he was?
Yes.
And Schumer said, I didn't say you did, sir. Defensive much?
I'm not defensive. You're the one who's defensive. Shut up.
Yikes.
You know what? We need less spats on the floor of the Senate and more like Thailand-style fist fighting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would love to see that.
More martial arts.
Yes.
Yeah. Andy in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Andy.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, you know what? I actually just found this show or whatever, and I absolutely love it. It's amazing to have people that actually agree with what I'm thinking. And you know what? I think I'm now officially, like, disappointed to be a white guy.
Disappointed.
It's a little bit of a letdown. It really is.
Disappointed!
Yeah, you're disappointed in yourself and your whiteness.
Yeah, you know, and I don't understand the whole thing on immigration now. It makes no sense. It's like you're going to track these people their whole lives because they're immigrants?
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't make sense.
Exactly. I like that he called it a show or whatever.
Whatever this is.
Or whatever.
We're not really sure.
More of a whatever most of the time.
Yeah.
All right. 58 minutes hour after the hour. Right, be back with more of the...
Whatever.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
Next. Oh, yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour. Okay, next time Jackie Schechter's on vacation, we have to, we're going to have A.J. Clementi fill in. He's the guy that dropped an F-bomb and an S-bomb in his very first time anchoring. God bless him. He is precious.
He sounded a little kind of...
Yeah, he didn't know he was on camera yet, and so those were his... may have been the shortest news anchoring gig in ever. He began his career. It's Bismarck, North Dakota.
Yeah.
The NBC affiliate.
Well, Jeremy, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm completely screwed. I blew it.
Yeah, he wasn't good anchoring either.
I'm also not... good talking.
I can only imagine the letter that sorority girl wrote him, because he was awkward.
Well, his co-anchor asked him tell us a little bit about yourself, and he said, I enjoy being from East Coast.
I'm Coast-ish. From, used to being from the East Coast.
Used to, I do, I have,
all right. But at least he's honest.
Also,
his tweet was just, that couldn't have gone any worse.
He's a better writer than he is a speaker, I think.
I'm not a strong speaker.
I'm not strong on the talking stuff.
Hilarious. Most awkward anchoring ever since broadcast news. All right. Oh, look, it's a love letter from sexy liberal tour director Roland Scahill.
What?
He writes, it's 2 years ago today we first laid eyes on each other, sexy liberal Madison, where it all began. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Really?
Shut up. He loves me.
Really?
He doesn't see me as much as you do.
Well, you've seen his...
It's kind of a road romance.
Okay. You've seen his junk.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of which, Ron in Chicago writes, the show was amazeballs. He refers to Chicago Sexy. Hi, Mama. Thank you for a fantastic evening, exciting, sexy evening at Chicago Theater. You're all amazing on stage. I laughed so hard, peed myself a little. We ought to start selling some nappies, some, sexy liberal diapies. Gotta
Stadium
say, Mama.
Buddies.
Hmm? Gotta say, Mama, you look hot in person. Why, thank you. I might even call you L.A. pretty. Wow. In fact, you were...
What does that mean? L.A. pretty?
Well, because it's mostly
fake. As opposed
to... It's mostly fake.
Is that like giraffe rich?
Right.
Do you know what giraffe rich is?
No.
When you're rich enough where you could just say, hey, I want a giraffe, and you can go out and get one.
Go get one.
Yeah.
In fact, you were so hot, you almost got me to switch teams. Then I looked at Dreamy John Fugel saying, got gay all over again. Ron, Chicago. All right.
All right.
Commit, Ron. Commit. Whatever. All right. Oh, and John and Pam just called in, and I forgot Audra did a tribute to John and Pam because they were rolling with them, right?
You know, every now and then, yes. John and Pam pack up their three cats, hook up that fifth wheel, and head out on down the road. Listen to the story now.
Yes!
I wasn't going to drive all that way if I couldn't get my honey bun a kiss. I just kissed that little face right off.
Sure did. Well, they left their home in Ohio, and they're making their way to Chicago. You don't have to worry, because they'll never hurry. Because sexy liberals are always happy to give. Fifth wheel keep on turning, John and Pam keep on burning.
Rocking it out.
Yeah.
John and Pam. All right, sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook. Get some sexy liberal crap. Why not?
Sure.
It's fabulous, and we will...
And it fits well, too.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Smartest boy in class, preemptively Kelsey today. Steph, imagine this. A personal trainer comes to you and says, you have a problem with fat, so let's give you some more fat and see if that makes you less fat. This is essentially the argument Republicans are making about guns and gun violence in America. They think arming more people, for protection, of course, not having comprehensive background checks, will help with gun violence. Republicans are essentially saying, America, we have a gun violence problem, so let's arm as many people as possible, including kindergarten teachers, with as few restrictions as possible, and then see if that makes us less gun violent. Both are examples of completely backwards logic, and Americans need to return to common sense on this issue. Thank you, Kelsey. Secondly, anyone who's ever run a household or managed even the most simple of budgets should realize that a person or a family cannot simply cut their expenses to get to prosperity. You can't simply cut your rent, cut your electricity, cut your water, and think you're going to be rich. There is a reason that people have to work overtime, work triple shifts, work multiple jobs, or ask for raises. You must also intake additional revenue in order to get to prosperity. Same goes for the government, Steph. It's simpler than arithmetic. It's basic common sense. Republicans tout small business owners as the holiest of all holy citizens. What they fail to understand is that small business owners usually have to spend money in the first place on their business in order to get them up and running so they can become profitable. Again, basic common sense. Sometimes you have to spend money in order to make money. Same goes for government. We need to spend on education, the environment, research and development so that our country could be as profitable
and the
as possible in the future. That's right, just like small business. Come on, Republicans, come on. Kelsey invites you to common sense. Do it. Do it.
Do it.
Do it. Do what he said.
Do it now.
Is Kelsey a boy or a girl?
It's a boy.
Are you sure?
Oh, I don't know. Who cares? Cheryl in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cheryl. Hi.
All the three in suspense.
They did what?
They shelved Where's Waldo? What?
Yeah, they shelved Where's Waldo. But that's really hard to say in one sentence,
yes.
By the way.
Yes.
Hey, about your callers, your previous callers, I don't know if Fox News had technical difficulties and these window lickers have stepped away from the television and gone to the phone, but that absolutely, what that guy was spewing, it sounded, was it Bill Clinton that said at the convention that it took a little brass from Eddie Munster Ryan to charge people for what he himself has said? And
yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing, and that's what Fox News, and I hate to tell you this, but my husband is a Republican.
Oh, dear. He's a window licker?
Oh, he is a window licker, like number one window licker.
Right.
And that's what Fox News does, is it you know, it shows the light, you know, throws a light on the Democrats, and they themselves are doing all of this. They're saying all of this.
Yep, absolutely. Window lickers. Okay. What's on all about what's going on in Canada?
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, two men face a bail hearing today after their arrest on charges of plotting a terrorist attack against a Canadian passenger train with support from Al-Qaeda elements in Iran.
None of that makes sense.
The case has raised questions about Shiite-led Iran's murky relationship with the predominantly Sunni Arab terrorist network.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem that they would work all that well together.
Yeah. Which is why I said, what's all that about?
Which is why they can't have nice things.
Exactly. Here is the head of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
The individuals were receiving support from Al-Qaeda elements located in Iran. Now, I can tell you that there is no information to indicate that these attacks were state-sponsored.
And he said that from the Chesterfield.
Exactly. Here he is again.
Had this plot been carried out, it would have resulted in innocent people being killed or seriously injured.
Unfortunately, it wasn't carried out.
He did say out.
Okay, stop it. This is serious.
By
okay.
derailing a train, they were actually, we were looking at a real threat to kill people, hurt people.
Hmm.
Huh. Yeah, I don't. We were just talking earlier too about how a Chechen opposition leader is saying that he thinks Putin could possibly be behind what happened. I mean, it's like there's so many.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Right.
I mean,
it's different elements
Tamerlan
going on right
spent
now.
Spent some time in Russia.
Yeah. Well, Jim said that. I wonder if he's trying to get us to fight his wars.
His Chechen war.
Yeah. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police again.
The significance of this investigation was that it involved domestic attack planning being supported by Al-Qaeda.
Interesting stuff going on.
So why are Shia and Sunni working together suddenly? This is weird.
I know, exactly. But the whole thing is weird. Glenn in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Glenn.
Good morning, Steph.
Good
Hi, Mook.
Morning.
Great show again. Hey, you're making me all nostalgic today talking about WMD and cherry-picked information. And I've just been getting snot-hammered by nostalgia.
Hello.
I was driving through the sleepy little village
by
of
the
Hampton,
way,
Massachusetts. What?
Did you see that George Bush's new library, it is interactive, so you can see if you would make the same decisions that I did.
I would make better decisions than anybody would make better decisions than he
nobody
did.
Nobody
oh
would.
Oh, my God.
All right, go ahead.
Barney could have made better
decisions. Anyway, I'm driving through Hampton, Massachusetts, and I come around the corner, and there's this little roadside stand, and there's a placard with a picture of our president on it with a, get ready, Hitler mustache.
Of course.
It was the LaRouches. They were out there peddling their nonsense.
Wow.
Yeah, for $5, I got 10 pounds. pounds of lies and how Andrew Jackson destroyed the United States.
Andrew
this
Jackson?
One's got a fold-out of Martin Van Buren.
Have you ever walked through a pack of LaRouche's,
no.
Steph?
Oh, no.
It's...
Ooh, hold your nose.
Yeah.
How often do you hear the phrase, ball sex says, what now?
Andrew Jackson, huh?
What?
He hasn't been president for years.
I would like to punt them.
Yes.
Okay, Irene in Baltimore, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Irene.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Stephanie, what I call for, I keep hearing these people call and complain about our president and upholding things that George Bush did. If George Bush was such a good president for this nation, let them name three things that he did well for the country.
Yeah.
Out of 8 years.
Well, yeah. We were never attacked by Iceland.
As I often said, Irene, I went out of my way to say something good about George Bush, and he was very good for the effigy business. Somebody must build effigies that
must be
burned.
We weren't attacked by space aliens, as far as I know.
Right. There's that. Okay. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This was so funny in my head when I planned it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, 22 minutes after the hour.
And we're in effect.
1-800, yeah, right? Up in here, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Okay, I think, you know what, we're going to be... We all remember the George W. Bush, It's a Wonderful Life, Jim Ward masterpiece.
Yes.
I just love this story about the... A tour of the George W. Bush Presidential Library begins in a bright area representing his early domestic agenda.
George Ruggy.
Ruggy's there. Optimistical rug.
Bright yellow.
Visitors find themselves suddenly in a darkened room surrounded by chilling reminders of the September 11th attacks.
It's dark. It's scary. Ooh, be afraid. Be very afraid.
It also chronicles the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, Hurricane Katrina, pretty much all the Bush disasters, all in one, under one roof.
Heck of a job.
The Florida recount. Various other historical events. I guess they're events.
Sure.
Events. Disasters. Didn't they say that under Hurricane Katrina there was a picture of Bush and it just said greatest disaster to ever hit the United States?
Yeah.
True dat.
You're welcome, America.
All right. By the way, we had a rude pundit on Monday. I had not heard of the Brad Paisley LL Cool J.
It was a little buried underneath.
Speaking of musical tragedies.
Yeah.
Accidental racist?
Yes.
Kind of like false comparisons about how wearing a Confederate flag is the same thing as, I don't know, gold chains or whatever.
Sure.
If you don't judge me, I won't judge you, yada yada. So I don't know why it inspired Rocky Mountain Mike and Macaroni, the official rapper of the Stephanie Miller Show, to do a parody.
A collaboration.
Oh boy, accidental step head.
Stop at Beaver Liquors. I hope you'll understand. When I put on your t-shirt, the only thing I meant to say is I'm a Steffi fan. She's just a lame white chick,
right,
who doesn't like trying to make it stick for guys who think that means freeway. She's proud of where she's from, but not everything she's done. It ain't like she can erase the itchy kitty.
If you are not a Steph fan, I wish you understood.
Step heads come from everywhere, even your neighborhood. We tune in every morning, partial change in hope. She even let me get a reach around that meet and grow.
Yeah.
At Sexy Limbo Bro, always keep your smartphone handy, cause you just might get lucky with a picture of her panties. It ain't an accident, I'm a step head through and through. So don't be judging mama, and we won't be judging you. If you don't judge my step show,
like
I won't judge your morning joke.
Try to make it stick for guys who think that means free.
If you don't judge my Philly cheese t-shirt, I won't judge if your teeth need work.
But not every day.
If you show step respect,
it ain't like
I won't laugh if love came back. And that's the truth.
Thank you, boys. That's spectacular. Okay, let's go to David in Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, thanks for keeping me sane in this bastion of Republicans here in Florida.
Yikes. All right, go ahead.
I just would like to tell Lindsey Graham to sit down and shut the F up.
Oh, dear.
This guy voted against the Manchin Toomey background amendment bill that would have kept guns out of the hands of terrorists, and he's standing there railing against terrorism.
Exactly.
He is a terrorist. Then.
Yeah.
An enabler, certainly.
Roger in Oklahoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Raj.
Hey, I got two quick points. First thing I'd like to talk about is that these Republican idiots that want to bitch and complain about the lefties, so-called lefties, taking a tragedy and politicizing it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about how Cheney Bush took 9/11 and turned it into a war that was unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
We should talk about that. And secondly, I don't know if anybody else was paying attention, and I haven't heard it on any other news source, actual news source. Fox Entertainment / News, Friday night when all that was going down in Boston or up in Waterton, they 2 hours or so, maybe an hour and a half or 2 hours before they actually had the guy captured, they broadcast across suspect down or suspect in custody. And I'd like to know why it is that they can get away with these lies and nobody calls them on it, ever.
Well, because we expected of them. That was, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, somebody, Eric Bowler made the point. At least CNN quickly corrected it and apologized. Fox News, we're so used to it. You know, I remember the one, what was that, JetBlue flight? Remember here the landing gear wouldn't go down?
Yeah.
And JetBlue at that time was the only flights that had TV. And so they were literally watching it, but somebody that called in that was on the flight said, well, yeah, but they just had Fox News, so we weren't sure if it was true. They're literally on the plane, it's happening.
Right,
we're
right.
Like, oh, that's probably not true. Paul in Michigan real quick. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was just, I actually wanted to ask you a question personally.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Well, no, I want to, how do you feel that, like, say, if extended background checks had been in place a few years back, how would that have prevented something of the nature of Sandy Hook? Because that guy stole a gun.
Yeah, I get that not every law helps every single specific tragedy, but if it helps stop any of them, well, why
exactly.
Not? Okay, right back with Matt Breen from The Advocate next.
Oh, my God.
Stephanie Miller.
Another pansexual, alcoholic, non-human.
Mm-hmm. 34.
That's on your resume,
at least
right?
I'm not a Delta Gamma. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12.
I'll punt
number.
You.
Yes, you will. You will punt me. Okay. Hey, this just in. France has just approved marriage equality.
That's right. Absolutely.
Mon Dieu.
Liberté, fraternité, égalité.
Exactly.
See what I did there?
Mm-hmm. We salute you. And what better time to have Matt Breen, editor-in-chief of The Advocate, live in studio.
Hi.
Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good. If only the Boy Scouts of America could be quite as progressive as France.
Mm-hmm.
They thought they would sneak this in on us Friday night, just when there was a little bit of other news going on.
And a very decisive statement.
Yeah.
Of equivocation.
They're apparently run by Libras entirely. They cannot make a decision. Salon has a great piece. Boy Scouts still wrong on LGBT rights. The gay-adverse organization takes halting, condescending steps towards equality and fails yet again. It's not really progress or even compromise if your gentle, glacial-paced attempts at moving into the 21st century reek of condescension and open up a whole big can of outright bigotry. So let's try this again, shall we, Boy Scouts? tell us what happened, because it really is a little like, what?
So their executive committee, which was supposed to meet the last time we spoke, made a recommendation based on their study that they would no longer discriminate against members, children who are gay, based on their sexual orientation or preference, they say.
Right.
But they're going to maintain their discriminatory policy against adult volunteers, leadership.
Right.
So you can't be a gay scout leader or a lesbian den mother. You cannot be, I guess, over 18 or 21, they didn't say, I don't think, involved in Boy Scouts if you're openly gay.
Right.
So apparently, when you're a child or when you're a teenager and you say you're gay or bisexual, you're fine. But as soon as you turn 18 or 21, you become a predator.
Yeah, and that's exactly the implication.
The subtext is that you turn into a predator. You turn into a child molester.
Sure,
and you're a danger to children.
A lesbian in charge of a bunch of boys.
right. What's more dangerous than that? What?
So this is one of the few times that I did agree
lesbian,
with
you. I could be less interested in boys of any age. No, I'm just kidding.
So I'm thinking we're agreeing with Tony Perkins on this one, that it's a really weird policy. He said the proposal says, in essence, that homosexuality is morally acceptable until a boy turns 18. And then when he comes of age, he's removed from the Scouts. So it's a weird, and it still has to be voted on. Like the volunteers from around the country still have to vote on this policy. So it's not actually a policy yet. This is a recommendation.
Well, it is just weird. This whole,
it's not a policy.
It is weird the way that this whole, as Salon says, in January it announced it was potentially discussing changing its restrictions on gay members. You know, it was sort of like this exploratory kind of
thinking about discussing.
They're putting feelers out there.
Now the Scouts are taking further dodgy steps to ease their restrictions on gay youth while still conspicuously shutting out gay and lesbian adults. Over the weekend, they moved to end the ban on, as you say, even that language is weird, openly gay Scouts. But continuing to bar gay adults from serving as leaders. Such an incoherent and unworkable plan, as the National Review Online called it, would open up all kinds of cans of worms. Does the organization stand by its assertion that homosexual conduct is inconsistent with the values it seeks to instill? Scouts often move on to other roles. Does it have a plan for openly gay youth who have been scouts in good standing and wish to become leaders when they turn 18?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Do they ask for your Eagle Scout back on your birthday?
Yeah.
Did they rip it off your shoulder? Like, ripping off your...
That eagle looks gay to me.
even more grotesquely, distinguishing between gay youth and adult leaders sends a clear message that gay adults are somehow unfit to be around children.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony Perkins, who you mentioned, called the Move for Equality a relentless campaign to inject sex and politics into scouting. Salon writes, LGBT rights aren't about injecting sex into anything. Sexual orientation and sex itself are not the same thing. Does the Boy Scouts assume straight people are injecting sex into their interactions with opposite-sex children? Then no. Oh, and by the way, being a normal human being living fully in the world isn't politics either.
Right.
It's, you know, only in his mind is it injecting
and then
politics.
Tony Perkins stabbed Janet Leigh in the shot.
Exactly.
Not that Tony Perkins.
Oh, right.
But at least it was a man stabbing a woman and not...
Right. Going to any gay shower murders.
Right. And not the morally reprehensible type.
So the weird
pedophilia, because this goes to your point, is that's exactly what the implication is. Mm-hmm. Pedophilia is not homosexuality. Jot it down, put it on a post-it on your desktop if you need to.
Yeah.
A person's rights shouldn't be revoked when he reaches legal maturity, and for an organization that prides itself on its morals, that's a distressing example to set and fiercely wrong idea to perpetuate. That's the underlying thing, all gays immediately become pedophiles upon reaching 18.
And apparently the Boy Scouts actually consulted some experts in this field and made a decision that doesn't make any sense based on that. Anyhow, the AP reported that the Scouts consulted four experts in the field of child sex abuse prevention. The four conveyed a nearly universal opinion within their field that homosexuality is not a risk factor for sexual abuse of children.
Right.
And yet they came up with this policy that says, well,
We're still icky. We still feel icky about it, and, you know, gay adults are going to prey on our children.
We have no evidence, but we feel icky.
In fact, we have evidence to the contrary, and we still feel, like, weird about it.
It's rare that a compromise just makes it worse.
Yes.
I know you seem like you're trying to be inclusive somehow, but, yeah, I mean, obviously, as Chris implied, this has been such a huge news week, so what has there been any reaction that you know of? Have they... Because obviously not a lot of people not talking about this yet.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, there's bigger news that's been happening this week.
Right.
And I don't think that they put... I'm putting out a press release or, you know, a statement on a Friday afternoon is always a way of sort of burying it. But
exactly.
I don't think they anticipated as much news as we would have had this past week.
Right.
So I don't think that was part of the plan. But so we're seeing response sort of roll out a little bit. But the interesting response will be corporate response, because that's where they've been losing so much of their money. Corporations
right.
that have anti-discrimination policies mm-hmm. stop giving money to the Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
They still have a discrimination policy. It's just against adults now. It's not against youth.
It'd be interesting to see what happens at the Supreme Court and if that affects them, because I think that it's just, even what they just did just seems so regressive. Sort of like, what? I mean...
And
you know.
ham-fisted and, like, you know, just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's not... Well, it's nice that, ideally, gay youth will not be discriminated against in the Boy Scouts.
Right.
I guess
right.
that's a good thing. We have to acknowledge that that's better than it was. But it's a really weird step. It's not like saying it's okay to be gay because sexuality is not a part of Scouts.
But it's the argument to me, Matt, about, like, you know, civil unions. It's like, oh, well, why do you have to call it marriage? Like, you're regular people.
Right.
You know? I mean, to me, it would have been as if we said that to blacks and whites. Well, you can do it, but we're just not going to.
We're not going to call it marriage.
Call it marriage.
And
it's
you do
a compromise
see...
and just to eat it.
Right. You do see religious organizations. We talked about the Mormons and the Catholics who give a lot of money to the Scouts. You know, religious organizations of all different kinds come around when the law prevents discrimination. So the Supreme Court decision may have an effect on feelings by religious people about this issue. Hopefully it will. And hopefully we'll have a good decision from the Supreme Court.
Yeah. You know, speaking of interracial marriage and obviously, you know, some of the comparisons people have made, and I thought someone made an interesting one that they were even talking about whether, you know, you believe that people are born gay or there's a sexual continuum and it's a choice to some degree. They said, what difference does it make to free people in a free society?
Right.
They said, you know, were you born with a desire to sleep with another race or did you choose it? Who cares?
Right. That's interesting.
What difference should it make in a free country?
That, to me, goes to the idea that, like, if we're talking about marriage as some... We often talk about it in these religious contexts, but really it's a contract between two adults.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be a contract between two people who can make decisions for each other and be responsible to each other. So why do we have all these sort of quasi-religious ideas associated with it anyhow? If it's going to be administered by the government, then it has to be separate from all of those ideas.
Right.
It should be, ideally.
Yeah, exactly. Tony in Madison, I loved it. Who was it on the right that said... Bill Donahue from the Catholic League.
Oh, he's a winner.
The marriage is just not supposed to be fun for anybody.
Yeah.
Not about love, happiness, none of that.
If you have any of that,
you're doing it wrong. Tony in Madison. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Steph. I loved you in Chicago.
Thank you, baby.
I look at The Advocate like every day.
Cool.
I just wanted to say that the Boy Scouts of America right now are just like such a hot mess. I mean, they're shooting themselves in the foot this way. Like,
they are the Gamma Delta of organizations.
Delta Gamma.
I mean, I'm 20 now, and I came out when I was 15, and if I was in the Boy Scouts, I mean, I wasn't, but if I was and I came out, I still would have come out at 15. And then, like, when you turn 18, you're going to become, like, a you know, pedophile. That's not going to work out. I mean, because it's just, you know, the way society's moving, we're all going to be coming out, like, younger now because people are going to accept it. The Boy Scouts have got a lot of, you know, a lot of things that they have to deal with now, but this is just kind of a joke.
Yeah. And, Tony, one of the things they use, you know, a lot is, you know, some studies show that, you know, the gay kids have higher incidences of whatever, drug use, depression, suicide. Well, you know what? Maybe more inclusive of society. Mm-hmm. They won't anymore because, that's the problem. It's the bigotry in society, I think.
It's repression.
Yeah.
It has a physical effect on you.
It does.
Yeah. All of it.
It's exhausting.
Somebody made an interesting comment about how if you wanted to stick to the Boy Scouts policy as it's being recommended right now, you could sort of align yourself with the ex-gay philosophy. You could be a gay scout until you turn 18, and then if you go back into the closet and avow heterosexuality, you can be a scout leader at
right.
that point.
Right. So Marcus Bachman could be a scout leader, obviously,
super.
Because he has disciplined that barbarian within himself. Super. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour. Back
we
to the remaining.
To understand, barbarians yes, right. need to be educated.
Yes.
They need right. to be disciplined.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Where are the Weeblos? Okay, 45 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments with Matthew Breen, editor-in-chief of The Advocate on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, I don't believe it. This is too good to be real. Of course this is real.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
She knew how to work it the day she was born. Now she's riding into battle with her high heels on.
She's the queen of the West Side, working at your dawn. Riding into battle with her high heels on.
All right, thanks for gaining it up since Matthew Breen is here from The Advocate. 45 minutes after the hour. We were talking about they have just approved marriage equality in France, and our good friends at NAM. National Organization of Marriage. Encouraging nonviolent protest in France.
Brian Brown, the head of NAM, has been talking about the protests in France, and
right.
he's encouraging nonviolence and praising the nonviolent protests in France. And of course,
yeah.
in this past week, we've seen the protests get quite violent. You know, there've been police lineups and fights and all kinds of stuff in the street, protesting in the streets.
Right.
There was one, we reported on one really interesting protest. It was like this line of 15 or so shirtless guys, young guys,
yeah,
20s maybe,
mm-hmm.
with masks on and peace signs drawn on their chests.
Hmm.
And they were protesting against same-sex marriage, which is sort of,
that's
the, was
gay,
a strange,
yeah, the gayest way you could protest.
Like the gayest protest ever.
Looked like a white party lineup. And I don't know if they really
try not to be so confusing when you protest.
Their protest tactics.
When barbarians need to be disciplined.
But since they've gotten violent, these protests have gotten violent, Brian Brown has said nothing. NAM has been totally silent.
Brian Brown?
Wow.
No, not that Brian Brown.
No.
Brian Hector.
So,
Evan Block, all together.
Yes.
So, interesting that they've been goosing people on and then saying, hey, not our problem when it gets violent.
Yeah, interesting. Well, here's good news. Speaking of keeping the children safe, Anthony Weiner's back on Twitter, everybody.
That's right.
Everybody look alive.
Thank God.
At AnthonyWeiner.com, back on Twitter.
No, not AnthonyWeiner.com. It's just at Anthony Weiner.
At Anthony Weiner. That's what
yes.
I meant.
Okay.
That's what I meant to say.
You're not on the Twitters.
No. Okay. Janet in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Janet.
Hey, sexy liberal, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
I want to go back to the Boy Scout issue. It makes me kind of nervous, it makes me kind of scared, because basically what you're saying is the kids can be involved in scouting, but we're going to bring them into an environment that's hostile to gays and lesbians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. You're teaching them, like, oh, this is okay if it's a phase, and then you just work your way out of it by the time you're 18.
You're going to outgrow it by the time you're 18, and if you don't, we don't want you. But while you're here, maybe let's do some backdoor reparative therapy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah, that's a really good point.
Huh? Yeah, it is kind of sneaky reparative therapy.
We've got people who are totally anti-gay with their arms wrapped around people who need to see the light and to be, quote, morally straight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing that makes me a little bit nervous about the direction that the scouts are going in.
Yeah,
so at some point, Ann Romney will show up saying, stop it.
Just stop it.
Stop it.
This is hard. Stop it. This is hard. You want to try it? Get in the ring. Are you pitching a tent? Stop it. Murnie in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Murnie.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
I just wanted to remind... Hang on just a minute, guys.
Okay.
My phone or my TV off.
Okay.
I just wanted to remind everybody that pedophilia is not about the sex.
Right.
It's a form of rape, basically.
It's about
power. It's about domination, mm-hmm. power, control, the whole bit. And I think these people are just a little bit afraid to see adults, heaven forbid, having to kind of accept each other and work together. And how sad is that?
Yeah.
For those kids,
Yeah.
So that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, there's no other way to say it, but it's just sending the message it's not okay to be a gay adult. I mean,
right,
it's, and then it's sort of that icky sort of tolerance. We will tolerate you oddlings.
Right. It's not acceptance in any, like, it's not acceptance by any any definition. It's barely tolerating children who don't have the agency.
Tolerate you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're losing money.
I know.
And good luck getting money with this policy.
Exactly.
It's not going
to
work.
Our friend Shelley Wright always says, who's very Christian, she said, I don't seek to be tolerated. You know, I don't think. I think people didn't realize how condescending that sounds until, you know, I think the March for Gay Rights has moved so quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, no, you can't just have some kind of weird tolerance. You know, I'm like people with B.O. or something. Like, all right, I will tolerate you. But John in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
How you doing?
Good.
I don't understand. You talk about tolerance. Why can't the Boy Scouts do a lot of good? Their values, whatever, they don't agree with you, and you want to change them. Why don't you start your own club, an all-inclusive club?
Because I don't like boys. Don't want to start my own boys' club. But, okay. No, I kid, John.
That seems a little separate but equal, doesn't it?
Well, what's the wrong? We don't all have to agree on everything, but we can respect each other's.
So why are the Boy Scouts letting? Why are Boy Scouts saying it's okay for gay kids to be in Scouts then?
Why? I don't know why. Maybe they're trying to appease, like you say. Could be a lot of different things. But point is, why can't if a bunch of old guys want to have an old guys club, let them have it. Who cares?
Boy Scouts is a really unique organization.
Yeah, they're not the Moose Club.
Yeah,
they're not the Elks.
They are a private organization, and that's what James Dale's Supreme Court case sort of, you know, was determined
correct.
To be. But they're chartered by Congress, and the President of the United States is always the honorary chairperson of the Boy Scouts of America.
Yeah.
So it's not just like a private club. It's not the same. It has this weird, unique status that is endorsed by the government, and that's the problem with this organization. That's the problem with having a discriminatory policy.
Right.
Yeah. No, exactly. Well, I mean, and I just think, you know, as we move forward in this march for equal rights, I just think it just gets less and less defensible to discriminate.
And it's also, you know, some troops meet in church rec rooms or whatever, but some troops also meet in elementary school rec rooms. Mm-hmm. And so they're meeting on public property, and that's a problem if they're discriminating. Right.
It's almost it's not a public accommodation, but it's almost like that in the way that the government sanctions the Boy Scouts.
Yeah,
and it wasn't intolerance that drove you from the Scouts; it was swords and elves.
Well, yes, when
his intolerance,
what a euphemism!
You're a little intolerant, aren't you, of swords and elves?
When my troops started doing nothing but playing Dungeons and Dragons, I'm like, I'm out of here because I can't deal with swords and elves.
Mm.
It's funny because that might have kept me in, but I cut out after the Cub Scouts.
After the Cub Scouts.
Yeah, it was getting a little too, you know, characteristic for me.
Yeah. All the goose stepping. Just
Maybe elves don't seek to be tolerated.
Maybe they don't.
Okay.
I did not tolerate them.
Elf Scouts of America.
Just saying. Cuts both ways.
I know.
Swords and elves cut both ways.
I know.
Okay. Our friend Willie, I just wanted to highlight this because Willie Nelson, friend of the Stephanie Miller Show, holding a benefit for the Texas blast victims.
Yeah.
He will turn an upcoming Texas concert into a benefit for victims of the explosion. It's not far from where he grew up. He still has a home in Abbott, Texas. It's about 5 miles north of West where the explosion was. He remembers riding his bike the short distance between the towns. Still has a lot of friends and family there. So we say, he's always doing good stuff.
Yes,
like
he's just the coolest. Like,
yeah.
So I wonder how he celebrated 420.
How do you think, Stephanie?
Barely consciously.
So he's 5 miles north of West, which puts him 7 miles east of South.
Right.
By my calculations.
That must make GPS go crazy.
Recalculating.
Recalculating.
South of West.
Huh? How do you get to Southwest West? Is it north of East West, or is it...
Willie Nelson on a GPS.
Oh,
420.
Yeah. Oh, boy. That's what he calls
recalculating.
I told you they came to pick me up when I was visiting in Maui, and I literally was I was so disappointed. It was not the Cheech and Chong car. It was not just like, you just can't see. Just smoke.
Hotboxing him.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
Matthew Green, editor-in-chief of The Advocate, which is a fabulous magazine, and I do not mean that in a gay way.
Either way, we like it both ways.
All right.
Really?
What now?
That's
All right. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.